5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Hello, little things you say and do make me want to be with you. Rain on it, crazy feeling, and I know it's got me reeling when you say I love you. Rain on it, the way you dance and hold me tight, the way you kiss and say goodnight. Rain on it, crazy feeling, and
the all-new Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all, and dear listener, hope you're still with us and haven't slipped away in the night. And it is welcome to the new Panic Room episode 51, which means the next one is quite literally 52. So there you go. It's Thursday night, 9:30 Central. How that equates to all the other, you've got mountain time here, which is kind of jolly, but I have no idea. I know some are ahead, some are back, and I don't know. It's all a bit scary for us foreigners. And a bit of a mixed blessing for me this week, obviously the 4th of July, when we celebrated, letting you guys win the World of Independence. And we'd had enough, I think, to be honest. We need to lighten the load a little bit. We'll let India go, let America go. You can only do so much, but now we have nothing. I think we're barely clinging on to Scotland, so maybe we're a little bit too far. But welcome to the show, everybody who's still listening. And again, it wouldn't be the show, obviously, without the one and only, the ubiquitous.
I was wondering when you're gonna, let me on.
It crossed my mind not to bother, to be honest. Oh, she's just gonna be boring about
sometimes
baseball
say the wittiest things and I waste it and nobody's even listening. It's very sad.
Sorry, were you talking then? Sorry, what was that again?
Shut up.
Oh God, it's gonna be one of those nights, isn't it?
I have a feeling it is. Yeah, is there like a full moon out there, I wonder? It has been.
It was getting there on July the 4th, on that, because we were letting fireworks off. It was getting pretty close, actually, getting pretty close. It might well be a fully tonight, so there you go. So how are you this evening, Midi? Are you good and in good health and whatnot?
Well, the one awesome thing that I want to, I have weird colored hair and it's really awesome and I love it. It's really cute. I sent you the picture. It's like red, pink-ish, kind of. I don't know how to explain it, but it's really cool.
It's like rainbow sparkles from My Little Pony took a dump in your head.
Hey!
It's very nice, very pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did you say... Right, I'm not even going to repeat what you said. Yeah.
What, rainbow sparkle? Yeah, obviously, maybe you're not up on My Little Pony. I am, actually.
No, I do. I remember My Little Pony. Yeah, I had some, I think, when I was really little.
There's a new movie coming out as well. We went to see Despicable Me 3 at the weekend, and there was a trailer for it. And I looking at my daughter, please don't. So I want to say, she actually wants to see Atomic Blonde. So it's a slightly different from My Little Pony. So
oh God,
that will go from My Little Pony. No, please. Despicable Me is very good, by the way. Isn't Jim's film review of the week it's what you'd expect. It's not. I don't think it's as strong as the first two, but it's all there. It's good. I love it.
I can't tell you the last movie I saw. I mean, new.
Well, it wasn't
Hellraiser,
was it?
It wasn't. And I'm gonna get Becky for that. By the way, she threw me under the bus, and I was gonna try to pretend like because you said I'm not gonna speak to you again until you watch that, and that was of course weeks ago. I'm trying to hold out until October. I can watch it around Halloween.
I'll bet you now $20 says that by the end of this year you have not seen Hellraiser.
Well, it's not that I don't want to. That's not it at all. Mm. It's not like I'm trying not to watch it. I just haven't.
It's an hour and a half. I mean, come on. You can find it if you want. If you don't, I can. I have the DVD here. I can send you it if you want. If you want to, I don't mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do I even watch it? It's not like I can go to Blockbuster anymore. You know, there's no Blockbuster to go to. So
watch it on YouTube if you want. I mean, it's not difficult.
I don't think they have full movies. They don't have full movies like that on YouTube.
No,
you have
to watch it in like 9 bits, but you can watch it on YouTube.
Well,
some do have. Someone I know watches full movies on YouTube. I don't know why, but in this day and age of Netflix and whatnot, it seems a little bit silly, but there you go.
Do
we have a show tonight, or did you organize anything this
week?
What have we got going on tonight?
Why do you do that to me? We have our first guest, Ray Garten.
You should know, that's what
Hey, now, that's not even funny. And then we have Becky the Reviewer with us again.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, after that, we have Destiny Hawkins. Woo!
Yay!
And I want to give a shout-out real quick to a friend of mine who is listening, Angelica. I used to babysit her, and she said she was listening, and I thought that was really cute. So.
Oh, hi, Angelica.
Hi, Angelica.
Hi. get a life, be honest. You start listening to this bilge on a Thursday night.
Hey, we're entertaining.
I like to think we are. But I tell you something. I tell you, you know, who is even more entertaining than we are. And we've not had him on for a while, and I think it's about time.
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things. And to balance that out from the other side of the ring, as it were.
Hello, 광대회를 앞두고 경제발전과 인민생활 향상에 크게 이바지할 수 있는 수많은 주요 대상 건설을 짧은 기간에 훌륭히 완공하고 당 중앙에 중종의 보고서들을 보내어 왔습니다.
I've actually figured out why old Kim is such a loony tune. You know, again, comparing the two, there is the North Korean national anthem really is shit, isn't it? I mean, it's just dodgy crap. I mean, it's typical, communist.
You're here too now, buddy.
I have my own. To be fair, the British national anthem is as dull as dishwater as well. But it is. I mean, that and his pudding bowl haircut. You know, he's obviously got a big persecution. I bet when in the old days when they all used to have these. Like, obviously, he's not invited to G20 or whatever it is now. In the old days of the UN meetings and what, I bet they just used to all snigger at him. Oh, here's Kim, he's got his twatty little haircut. Oh, and he's fat.
You know, I feel bad for him about the haircut
bastard,
thing.
Kim.
Because when I was younger, my mom had the little, who was it? The preacher's wife cut my hair when I was younger, and she did the pudding bowl cut, and it was so awful. Oh my God, it was awful. I don't know why my mom would do that to me. Maybe I was a bad kid or something. I don't know. I looked so dorky. It was awful. And just recently I was looking through pictures and my son found a picture of me with the haircut. He was like,
right.
What is wrong? You know, like,
what is
just
wrong
put
with
it
you?
Away. Put it away.
Oh, I would love to see. I would pay good money to see that. I really would. We used to go when I was a kid. Again, this was in the 70s and, I mean, for boys, I mean, long hair. I was like what's long hair? Because obviously, you know, it was the years of glam rock, the early 70s. So all the boys had long hair and whatnot. Mm. And we used to go to, and apparently he's still going. I mean, he must be a million years old by now. Mick the Butcher, we called him. And he had a little barber shop at the top of Broadway, not far from, not the Broadway, Broadway in Dunscroft, where I lived. They had this little barber shop, and you'd go in and, you know, I'd just take a little bit off the sides and you would get short back and sides, no matter what you wanted.
Yeah.
And it would always, I used to get home, my dad always used to have to straighten it out because my fringe would be lopsided and it'd be, you know, just over one ear nothing ever matched. So my dad had to then spend 20 minutes sort of evening everything up after we'd been to Mick the Butcher. But the funny thing was, I mean, again, at that impressionable young age, it was one of the few places you could actually buy condoms. You could buy, do they do Durex here, don't they? And for a long, long time, I thought that Durex was a hair care product.
Uh-huh.
I thought, because the only place you ever saw it was at the barber shop. And I thought it's something you put on your hair. So there you go. Which is probably why I have 5 children. To be honest.
Right, right.
You've been using those wrong all these. Oh, I'll be putting my hair.
That's what you do with those?
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. Some hair now. I think enough blather. Adam, what's happening next, Xtina? I'm gonna take a leaf out of Trump. Have you seen the memes of the video clips of Trump getting lost? He got lost going from the jet. From Air Force One to his limo.
Oh my gosh.
And he was
stood
next to the fucking limo and he got lost. I mean, I have no sense of direction. I mean, my wife, my kids,
yeah,
we have
me
a great
either.
Game.
I don't
know. You know, he goes, honey, where's my car? And it wasn't for this. All my children have excellent memories. Otherwise, all of us would just be wandering around various car parks now.
I can
walk into one store in the mall and walk out and just go off in the wrong direction. So I know I can do that. You know, it's a guy thing, I think. But Trump, he was there and he was stood in front of the limo and just sauntered off. You know, and this is the guy with his finger on the button, for Christ's sake. You know, I mean, yes, it's funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is.
It's scary.
Terrifying.
It's really scary.
They say that Reagan, in his second term, was showing signs of early onset Alzheimer's, because he was an old president as well. I mean, there's a famous instance where he introduced Princess Diana as Princess David. And there's a few, and they since analysed. I mean, that was what obviously killed him in the end. But they analysed a lot of his, with hindsight, these are the early symptoms. The fact that the thought that someone like that has, the ultimate power, I guess, is terrifying.
Oh yeah,
it's terrifying. And, so anyway, so I'm gonna call a Trump and so what happens next? What's coming up next?
Next, we have our guest, Ray Gardner. Yes. What?
I can read it on the screen here. I just like putting you on the spot. It's
I know you do. You like that. And I am going to find the next guest we have on. I'm going to make sure they have a name you cannot pronounce.
Oh, no.
Because I've been doing
Somebody Eastern European. An Inuit. Somebody who's got a name that's like 30 letters long but no vowels. That would be
I'm not going to give you any help. No help at all.
That'd be great. Thanks for that. Brilliant.
Okay,
so here we go. AT&T willing, all being well, we should have Ray Garton with us. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay.
How are you?
We're good.
Hi.
How are you?
Sorry, I'm having a little voice problem tonight. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah,
yes,
we can
hear
you loud and clear. If you need to sort of take a break and sort of hawk it up a little bit, that's fine. We don't mind.
Oh God, gross.
But you're amongst friends here. You're amongst friends here this evening. So it's Ray Garton at World Horror Convention Grandmaster Award winner. I think even better than that, noticed he has. Was part of a list of, I think, five authors who have been tipped to replace Stephen King, which is, I don't think
that.
You could get a better accolade than that. Congratulations, Ray.
Thank you very much.
That is,
I don't
that
know
is,
if I'd
yeah,
want to replace him.
Well, you could maybe you sort of,
I would be happy to exchange bank accounts with him.
Yeah, right.
wouldn't we all? Yes. Wouldn't we all? Yeah. Well, funnily, we had Richard Chismar on the show a couple of weeks ago.
What a great guy!
He was,
and that was wow. Now, again, I guess we all sort of measure ourselves against King, but
I think it's a mistake to measure ourselves against King. Against his writing, yes, but the success that he's had is so rare for a writer to achieve that kind of success, especially a horror writer. It just doesn't happen. And he was in the right place at the right time.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I mean, J.K. Rowling is the other one, I guess, that springs to mind. Who was, I guess, relative to Stephen King, was an overnight success, relatively speaking. But maybe right place, right time. But to be fair, he writes a bloody good story. He writes a good yarn. And he writes it well. So.
He's wonderful, and he's a good person. I really like him. And he kicked off the horror boom of the 80s. I think he sort of single-handedly launched that. His success sort of sent out ripples, and that resulted in the horror boom of the 80s, which all of us benefited from. All of us who were around at the time.
Obviously, you can. I am English. Our listener does know. I've mentioned him before. The British version of Stephen King, and they were good friends. An author called James Herbert, who is credited with being a forerunner of the splatterpunk. He was very. Very in your face, very detailing gore. I mean, I sort of model myself on James Herbert, as a writer. And I think between them, and obviously then others, as you get your Ramsay Campbells, you're all sort of coming in, I think they dragged horror away from the sort of the hokey 60s and 70s campy, Dracula in a cave.
Gothic.
Sort of.
It was, Yeah. They got rid of the gothic stuff and they put it in present day. James Herbert's stuff traumatized me when I was a kid.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
The Fog, The Wrath, oh my God.
Yeah.
And well, I was an avid reader of his back then.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, The Rats was the first proper, you know, grown-up horror book I've sort of read, you know, the Kids Monsters books and, you know, Ray Bradbury, that sort of, it was the first real horror. And I remember, I mean, it's so visceral. I mean, and it's not a long book. I've actually recently got myself another copy. I actually have a copy on my bookshelf, just to have. But that really just changed my whole view. I mean, so this can be horror, you know, I mean, I think without James Herbert, I don't think there'd been a Clive Barker, to be honest, because again, Clive edges towards the sensual and the extreme.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it was not. I mean, I was brought up on the Hammer horror movie, you know, the Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing sort of horror, and to see it dragged away from that was great because it was just all getting too. I think it was like James Bond, you know, with Roger Moore, it all got very, very hokey and very camp, you know, and it just spoiled it a little bit. But
I grew up on the Universal and Hammer movies, and James Herbert, I think, was a big influence on me because he was the first writer I ever read who got really graphic and didn't turn away. You know, he pulled no punches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then later I read Richard Lehman's The Cellar, which blew the top of my head off because it made me realize that there really are no boundaries. I mean, if he can have monsters with penises that have tongues, there's no limit. And I kind of ran with that.
Fascinating.
Well, it's nice. I mean, certainly, I think probably horror, I think over and above any genre, you know, is boundaryless, or it needs to be boundaryless because it's as grotesque, as terrifying. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of you know, I mean, the authors that it's just gore for gore's sake. I think that's...
Right.
I don't find that entertaining.
Yeah, I don't
personally.
Like that either.
I like something that just creeps me out, you know?
Yeah. I think the best horror borrows from both ends of the spectrum, the extreme, the subtle, and everything in between. I like a horror novel that has a little of all of that in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... go on.
No, that's okay. Those are the ones I'm trying to write these days. More of a mixture instead of just the graphic stuff.
I think that's where, back to Stephen King, you know, I mean, he is his horror in an everyday setting. And I think it's the everydayness, it's the background that makes it, it's like the contrast. You've got he paints small town America beautifully well. And then you've got the horror that's just sort of ingrained or just pops up or is there, and it just makes it all the more. Salem's Lot, I think he's probably one of my favorite King books. And it's just small town America, and just this happens, and it just builds from there. And because it's just Joe and Joanne, everyday Mr. and Mrs. America, you know, it's terrifying. It's not a big gothic castle in Romania, which, to be fair, if you're going to go stay in a big gothic castle in Romania, you kind of expect there's going to be vampires, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you'd be disappointed if there wasn't. I would.
I like the fact that King brought the vampires into modern day and set them in such familiar settings with such familiar people. And Robert McCammon did something similar with Babe Thirst, which was also just such a glossy, smoothly written, epic vampire novel. If you haven't read that, I recommend it.
No, I haven't.
No, that's a new one on me. I'll dig that.
What title did I say? Babe Thirst. That's the book I meant to say. I don't know what I said, but. Medication is kicking in.
Ooh, speaking of which, we need to get the reading done before, the medication totally.
So
you're here to talk about your book, Paranoia Tango, is that correct?
Yes, it contains two novelettes, and they both sort of address the paranoia that's so widespread today, I think. I think we've become much more paranoid.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can get behind that statement. Do you have a rating ready for us?
Yes, I do. It's from The Last Days of Seabreeze, and it's the opening chapter called Leaving Town 1. A milky fog creeps in off the ocean and into the town of Seabreeze, and the streets clear out as everyone heads home before dark, so they will be indoors when the children arrive. The street lights come up as the gray dusk darkens, and the fog softens their glow to shimmering golden halos. Hector Graham steps out on the front porch of his son's house and watches the day die, watches the mist move in like a dense, slowly advancing army of silent ghosts. Soon the children will spread out through town and wander down residential streets, going from door to door, asking to come inside. By then, doors will be locked, drapes drawn, TVs just loud enough to cover the small voices outside. No one wants to see them because of the way they look, and everyone simply pretends they are not there until they finally go away. Sometimes there are so many of them that it becomes reminiscent of Halloween night when the neighborhood is full of trick-or-treaters going from house to house. Other nights, only a few wander the sidewalks and front yards and porches. Hector zips up his rumpled gray bomber jacket and folds his arms across his chest against the night's chill. He can hear sounds of movement from inside the house, footsteps thumping up and down the stairs, the occasional voice rising above the quiet drone of the TV. He hopes they are almost ready to go. They decided it would be best to leave at night, immediately after dusk, when they would be less conspicuous carrying suitcases out to the two SUVs. They will run the risk of encountering the children, of course, but they are determined to move quickly, get the luggage loaded, get inside, and start driving out of town before any of the children are able to approach them. With luck, it will be one of those nights when only a few of them show up in the neighborhood, or better yet, none at all. They will drive all night, stopping only for fuel and bathroom breaks. They will keep going until they are well into Nevada, where they will rest, get some sleep, a hot meal, and decide what to do next. The door is open behind him, and Bridget, his daughter-in-law, steps out onto the porch. Excuse me. Do you have everything together, Dad? Everything you need? He turns to her, smiling. Yes, it's just inside the door. That doesn't look like very much. I don't need very much. It's pretty quiet in there. Everybody getting along? I think they're too scared to argue about anything, she said. His grandson Mark has recently gone through a nasty and trying divorce from his drug-addicted wife and now has custody of their young son and daughter. They have been living there for a few months, which sometimes made things stressful in the house. But as Hector saw it, they were a family that was families did. His son Ted was forced to close down his successful landscaping business after 14 years because the job simply stopped coming and did not return. Ted and Bridget are losing the house anyway, which makes it much easier to walk away from the middle of the night. Walk away from it in the middle of the night. It's going to be a little while, she says, looking worried. David is sick. He threw up and doesn't feel well. I think it might have been those cupcakes. He ate too many of them. We'll have to wait for his stomach to settle down. Hector covers his fear with a smile. Go take care of him. I'll be in soon. You sure? El Dorado's on TV. I'm just going to take a last look at the street, that's all. I've spent a lot of time on this porch, and I'm going to miss it. She kisses his cheek and gives him a brief hug, then goes back inside. He turns back to the street, wondering how much longer they will be. He knows the later it gets, the more likely it is the children will show up. He does not want a confrontation with them. He wonders if they should postpone their departure until the following night, but he doubts that Ted and Bridget would agree to that. They are eager to get out. No one in the family wants to spend another night in town waiting to see if the night brings the children to their door again. He is eager to go, too, but the departure will be bittersweet. He has spent his entire life in Seabreeze, and he will miss it. He already misses it because it is already gone. And that's the end of the first chapter.
You could have kept going. I was listening, and I was hanging on every word. We have this happen.
Yeah,
every
I was enjoying
week.
That. Boo!
Yeah,
I'm booing.
I know. I'm going.
Actually, that's the prologue, not the first chapter.
Oh,
and this
see,
will be
you're
released.
Cheating us out of. You know.
The book comes out August 13, I think. It's either August 13 or August 15. It's sometime around there. I can't remember. I think I'm in the early stages of dementia.
Yeah, funny, we were just talking about that earlier. So you're in good company, mate.
Really?
In good company,
yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell you,
tonight you can,
middle age,
you
the
can
memory
blame
goes.
It on medication tonight.
Pardon me?
You can blame it on medication tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm blaming it on the wine, so it's
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's technically, actually, no, that's drunk, not dementia.
No.
You know, I mean, this is a subtle difference, you know? Subtle difference.
Okay. Yeah. Mm.
Although I must admit, the only time in my life I've actually had blackouts, is there's been, you know, vast amounts of alcohol involved. So I don't drink
I'm
as much as
really
I used to. Hmm?
I'm having a really hard time understanding you, James. It's not your accent. It's the quality of the sound. It sounds like you're underwater. It's very garbled.
Oh, no.
It's probably my shitty cell phone.
Yeah, but I do you hear me fine, though? That's really strange.
Yeah, I hear you fine. I can hear you fine.
I don't know. That's weird. Usually he does some kind of weird demonic thing in the show. But
that's
so far it hasn't
that's
happened.
It.
So I don't know.
Possession,
I hear you
the
fine.
The possession
things. I don't
is
know.
Distorting his voice.
Yeah, is that
well,
what
we'll let Xtina do this segment then, so I can take a hint.
Hey, yeah, he just doesn't want to talk to you. That's what it is. Oh, so here do we have the cute little jingle for the embarrassing story? You know, it's really exciting.
Oh.
Normally I tell the guests that they have their choice between, you know, doing 11 questions or the embarrassing story, and they always pick the questions. So this time I didn't even ask him. I'm like, okay, do you have an embarrassing story for us? So, you know, you have to do the cute little jingle thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a story.
Hi, I'm Patty, and I'm Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
I love that.
Yes, I do have an embarrassing story about when I was writing Live Girls. I had visited New York only once at that point and spent a brief time in Times Square, which inspired Live Girls. And there's a scene in the book where Walter Benedek, a reporter for the New York Times, is in Times Square. He's been to Live Girls, the peep show where the vampires are. And he gets into a cab and he tells the cab driver, take me to the New York Times. And then during the lengthy ride, he does some thinking and we have some exposition. My editor calls me up and says, do you know why they call it Times Square? And I said, no, why? He said, because that's where the New York Times is.
Oh, that's
he
cute,
probably
though.
Could have walked a block and then to the New York Times.
I would do, yeah.
I was so embarrassed.
Excellent. I like that.
Yeah, me too. You know, and I'm excited because the embarrassing story this week did not have to do with poo. Yay!
Oh, you had to mention poo.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I have a story about when I urinated next to Stephen King.
Ooh,
oh,
I like that.
Let's hear that then.
No, nothing. We were just in the men's room at a hotel during a convention. We had just met at the signing outside, and I went into the restroom, and we ended up standing together, and he turned and said, he smiled and said, well, now we're urinating together.
Awesome.
That is so cool to pee next to Stephen King. Those are aspirations right there.
There you go.
I know. When we had Richard Schismar on the show, I came really, really close to offering sexual favors in order to get him on the show. But, I know.
Yeah, I must admit,
I
was
so wonderful.
I was very disappointed that you didn't offer sexual favors on the show. You know, you're either part of this team or you're not. You know.
I know. I should. Hey, you didn't offer anything. You know, you could have offered too.
Yeah, you'd run a mile.
I'm so thrilled for Richard Chismar's success. I think it's well deserved. He's a good guy. He's one of my oldest friends in horror.
Now he's a great guy. I mean, he's a damn fine writer as well. I've read some of his stuff, other than Gwendy's. He paints small town America incredibly well. Incredibly
well.
Yes,
he does. He does it beautifully.
Yeah.
We're talking about movies earlier. I don't go.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I rarely go to the movies, and just recently we went to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and the new King Kong movie. And
uh-huh.
We loved them both. I was curious to know, what do you think of them? Have you seen
them? Yes, I've seen both of them. No, sorry, I haven't. Completely lied there. I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1. King Kong, I enjoyed. I mean, I went because the kids wanted to see it. My daughter,
yeah.
That age where she likes all the big stuff,
yes.
And it was good. I mean, I remember, that the Jessica Lange version,
yeah.
And the more recent one as well. It was good. I mean, it was a good romp. It's a good couple of hours entertainment, really. But is Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as good as 1? Because I really, really enjoyed 1.
Yes, we really enjoyed that. We enjoyed it a great deal. And I was not expecting to, because it's a sequel, so I figured, this is going to be not as good as the first. But it was tremendous fun, and it was quite different from the first one. So
that's good, because usually they just sort of, rehash, the...
Yeah,
you know, if the first one did well, they rehash the formula and churn it back out again, It's funny, we went to see Despicable Me 3 at the weekend, and it was good, but not as good, It seems to have the...
Which one? Which one was it?
Despicable Me 3.
Oh, yes, Despicable Me 3, yes.
It was good, but... Yeah, I mean, the kids enjoy it. My little girl enjoyed it thoroughly, of course. she's 8. I guess that it's that sort of age group. But the first one, I've seen it several times. We've got it on DVD, and it's still good. The gags are still.
Oh, the old one, it still holds up.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
holds up better than the Dino De Laurentiis Kong.
Yeah.
I remember Dino saying that his Kong would have the biggest balls of any Kong.
Yeah, I think
The reporters asked him if Kong was going to be anatomically correct, if he was going to have balls. He said, "He's going to have the biggest balls of all time."
It's a spicy meatball. Apparently, the King Kong from that movie still holds the world record for being the biggest practical effect ever made.
Oh,
really? I mean, I think it's like 50 foot tall. It's in the corner of a lot still. It's still there. It's in the corner of a lot somewhere. It's still the biggest. Yeah. Yeah, but I remember going to see it. I mean, I was a kid. I mean, I was probably 10 or 11 when that came out. I remember going to see it. It was like, wow. Because before that, it was the black and white, the Fay Wray version. The black and white one, which was...
I saw it on TV. It was pretty good. Black and white one.
Yeah.
I saw the black and white. I wasn't allowed to go to theaters when I was a kid, so... My parents took me to the drive-in, and we parked outside and watched the Jessica Lange King Kong without sound.
Oh, excellent. it probably didn't, detract from the viewing pleasure.
It was probably...
Film like that, you don't need to see the sound.
It was probably better without that dialogue.
Oh, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, every time we're just talking about like a new movie and going to see this movie and that one, I never say hardly anything because I you guys would laugh at me if I told you the last movie I went to see in theaters. I mean, it's
what was it? Was it Jaws or something?
No, it was Scream 4 was the in
oh,
the seriously? Yeah.
Well, that was a waste of $12, wasn't it?
It was.
Could have gone
it really
to see
was.
Something decent.
I know. Well, yeah. But that was a really long time ago. That's my point. It was a really long time ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
the
sad thing is, it's so expensive to go to the movies now. I mean, I go.
Is.
I'll take two kids, sometimes three, if a friend comes along. And by the time you've the tickets and you've bought the stupidly overpriced candy, it's like it's $100.
Oh yeah.
The four of you.
Yeah, you have to take out a loan to go to the movies now.
Yeah.
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 And
my wife and I rarely go.
Yeah, I don't watch a whole lot of anything anyway. I'm in the middle of watching Supernatural with my son. We're on like season 9. That's the only thing I really watch. So.
Yeah. I would rather stay home. I'm not that interested in much of the stuff that Hollywood is making these days. I'd rather stay home and watch an older movie I hadn't seen.
You know, and also, 9 times out of 10, if I am looking for something to watch, I will pick something older that I know was good, that I've seen before, opposed to watching something, you know, brand new that could possibly
That says a lot about films. Funnily enough, and I did just that last night. I've got a bunch of films that, you know, relatively recent films, and I settled on From Dusk Till Dawn, which I have not seen for a long time.
Oh,
and that is
a
great movie. It is. It still holds
up. Yeah, that
holds
up well.
Great film. Yeah. You know, it's violent, but it's tongue in cheek, but it's all there. It's got everything. It's great.
And it has more going on than just vampires. There's a story, there's backgrounds, the characters have some dimension, and that, I think, always makes horror work better. Makes horror work,
right.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, I was watching it with sort of, you know, with my writer's head, thinking, well, you know, these days, if you wrote something where you wrote a vampire movie where you don't even see, you don't even know it's a vampire movie till at least half the way through. You know, the first half is about the brothers and the robbery and the hostage and all the rest of it. It's almost going down the path of a Rob Zombie film, like The Devil's Rejects, that sort of thing. And then suddenly it's a vampire film. It's like, whoa, you know, and it's...
Where did that
these
come from?
Days, if you've not got vampires in the first, you know, 3 minutes, then...
Oh, yeah, they don't
imagine
trying
to write... You know, imagine if we wrote a novel in which, you know, halfway through... You know, it's not until halfway through the vampires pop up. Nobody'd buy it. Oh, it won't be vampires, you know, so...
Well,
yeah,
you know,
but again,
I know, it was a very strangely structured movie, but it worked.
Sorry.
It did. It did. I mean, it you know, if you look at it, on paper, it shouldn't have worked. I mean, you'd imagine people getting bored. But I think because between Tarantino and Rodriguez, you know, they built the characters so well. You know, the friction between Clooney and Tarantino. I mean, Tarantino's not a bad actor, actually, you know, and between the two of them was excellent. You knew something was brewing, and they could have done it, you know, not even had vampires, and it would have been an excellent film anyway.
Yeah.
You just followed those two, you know, just, and then suddenly it became a vampire shoot 'em up film, and it was great, you know. It's like you say, I've seen it before, but I knew it was a good movie.
Yeah,
that's
my
favorite kind of horror. People going about their business, going about their lives, and all of a sudden, bang, something horrifying is dropped in the middle of it all, like a bomb.
Yeah.
And it goes off.
Well,
that's why I don't like these, you know, we're a bunch of teenagers and we're going to stay in this creepy old house and get the Ouija board out. What could happen? Do you think something strange will go on? I don't know. Let's try. And it's, oh, for fuck's sake. Seriously? You know, oh, look at this ancient artifact. Let's fiddle with it and see what
goes
on.
Let's say this out loud. Yeah.
Really? Really?
Most of the horror movie descriptions these days lose me with the first four words, which are too frequently a group of teens.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Or if there's the word cabin and woods anywhere.
Yes.
Anywhere in the synopsis.
Yes.
No, I am not going to sit through that shit. No. Take your cabin in the woods and just leave it there. Leave it in the woods, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
You know, funny, I did watch a cat. Again, it's a few years old. Before I Wake. And it's about a little boy whose dreams manifest themselves as he's dreaming. And it is a really, really good movie. I mean, it's creepy. It's not overly violent and gory. It's a well structured, well written movie. And again, we're becoming a bit of a film review show now. But
if
you want a nice good solid creepy horror movie, that's a good one. Again, it sidesteps all the cabin in the woods and the Ouija boards and the horny teenagers and all that bullshit. And it's, you know, it's refreshing for it, I have to say. Yeah.
Well, our first segment is just about over with. Can you tell us where we can find you online, Ray? I know.
You can find me. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, although I don't use Twitter very much. I just loathe social networks, but I'm there to plug books, and I have, as a result, met some wonderful people. I've got the best readers in the world. Yes, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter, and my website is raygartenonline.com, and that's about it. I would like to make a shout-out to Becky, the reviewer. She's been a really good friend.
She wants to say hi, James. Can we put her on for a second to say hi to Ray? She's on hold.
No.
She has to leave.
Of course we can. Hey, Becky. How you doing, babe?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Oh,
I'm talking to these people.
They're fun.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
I need to do it next. If we do this again, I need to use a better phone because it's just this is a terrible phone.
Oh, we will do it again, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And you sound fine, by the way, Ray. You don't have to worry about it. You sound fine. And I want to say that all of your links are put up on the our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk Ray, you can go ahead and
do it
over there. Yeah.
Great. So. And buy Paranoia Tango in August.
Yeah.
Awesome. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And I will definitely
make sure you give us a nudge when it's out, and we'll obviously post it all over our websites and everything for
you.
Not a problem.
I will.
Good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you,
Ray.
It's
been a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, bye, Becky. Well, we'll see you straight after the break then, shall we?
All right.
Seeing as though you've muscled your way in early, I've noticed. Right, it's that time. It's bladder time for me, so we'll be right back.
My fate is in your hands. Can I take
Welcome back to part two.
Well, yes, indeed. Welcome back to part two. That was Can I Take You Home, Little Girl, which I, Jared Foley, I believe.
That's a good song, too. Yeah, it's a good song.
What, Jared? No, you know. Yeah, it is. It was actually The Drifters, bless. I'm a big fan of The Drifters, actually. It's, I only found out relatively recently that The Drifters, like, you know, like a soccer team or a football team. And where they have, I mean, I know Benny King was probably, you know, the drifter that everyone knows, but, you know, they just come and go. You know, it's never the same, you know, over the years. Because I thought, you know, they're still going, you know, they're doing well. They should all be dead now. But there you go. So we live and learn. We live and learn. And speaking of which, this is an educational part of the show. It's that time of the evening.
Strike one.
I've two words to say to that. Shite.
Now, what's the other one?
Shite.
And yes, shite indeed. Xtina, what's been going on in the wonderful world of baseball this week?
The wonderful world of the Blue Jays. Let's see, just about an hour ago, we won the first game in our series against the Astros, 7-4.
Boo.
Woo-hoo, we kicked
Boo.
That good butt, yeah. And let's see.
We probably
we
let
also
you win.
Won a short
They've
series.
Not won for a while. Let them win.
We also, well, no, we won a series against the Yankees, and that was awesome because right before that, we'd been on a losing streak, like six games in a row we lost. That was pretty sad. And this is interesting here, I think. Pitchers are starting to get blisters on their hands from the new laces that they're using on the baseballs because they, like, don't stick up as far as they used to or something. I thought that was pretty fascinating. We have a pitcher who's been out for, like, I don't know, like a month or so because and they're just, like, putting it together that it could be, like, these laces that are causing the blisters. And is that very exciting? Is that exciting?
Sorry,
did you fall asleep?
I lost interest through most of that. No. So,
okay,
yeah.
Fine.
But
okay,
I do know
who
the Astros are, obviously. So the Houston Astros. I don't care.
Yeah, I know they. Yeah. I lived in Texas for a while. I remember the Astros too, but I'm happy when our team beats anybody at this point. So.
If you just win something, it's nice, I suppose.
Yes, exactly. But I think this is like the third game in a row we've won, so I'm really excited that we're having a little bit of a comeback here.
Good.
Hopefully it can last.
Probably not.
But I was wearing my pink Blue Jays hat, and I have Blue Jays chapstick, and I put on just a little tiny trace before the game, you know. So it's all and I have a towel, so it's all these things, you know.
Oh,
I don't
you
have...
really are sounding you really really are sounding dull now. So I'll tell you what we need to do.
Oh hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh no.
Becky, the reviewer, how are you this evening again, my dear? Two slots
I'm
in one
fine.
Evening.
I know, and I just bullied my way right on in.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So what are you, after last week's fantastic review, what are you reviewing this week?
It's a book called Flies by Andrew Lennon.
Flies?
Uh-huh.
Did you say? Oh,
like,
hang on a minute. Here we go. We what? No, we can. You can carry on. Go on, you review it now.
Okay.
There you go. Fantastic.
Okay, after that, you definitely need to read this thing. There's this guy that is, he's a spoiled brat. He's a grown up, and he works in the office for his dad. And unfortunately, he starts seeing all these flies everywhere. And he goes into the office one day, and he opens the door, and they're just swarming everywhere. And he freaks out. And, of course, he slams the door, and he leaves. And he goes upstairs, and he tells his dad he's leaving. And, well, dad doesn't like that, and you know. But he leaves anyway. Then he... after he leaves, he decides to go to the bar and get drunk, and he meets a woman there, and he decides to take her back to his apartment. And by this time, he sees flies on people's faces. He looks in the mirror and sees one crawling around on his face, and when he feels it's not there, it's just, you know, it's just, it's really creepy. It's really, really good. And by the time it was over, I was like, oh, hell no. I did not want to ever see another fly again as long as I live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, this is a short story. And one of the things I really, really, really love about this book is Andrew's one of what I refer to as my British guys. And they have a, there's, you know, a group of them, and they're really, really tight, and they're good friends, and they always try to include a new author or whatever. And so at the back of his story, there are like three or four bonus stories, and there were several of them that I had never read anything by before, which, you know, is really awesome because, you know, it introduces you to a new writer, and, you know, that way they get a few new readers and whatever. So they have started doing that. And I really think that that's really amazing that, you know, there's such a fraternity, a brotherhood there that, you know, they want to help each other. And I just love that about,
definitely,
about
yeah,
all of
great.
It. But this book is really, really good, and probably – Andrew's written some really good ones, but this is probably one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's just
awesome.
Really,
where
incredibly creepy.
Where do we find that? All the usual outlets?
Yes, all the usual places. Amazon has it. I believe that he has it for sale, I think, on his website. So, and I'll give you the link for that.
Now.
Damn!
Yeah, you know,
I don't... I think it's AndrewLennon.com.
There you
go. UK.com.
Yeah. Bully yourself onto the show and you still prepare. Really? Yeah.
I know. I'm grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to your room. No supper. Go to your room.
You know, speaking of books, last week I picked up Sour Candy by Keelan.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Burke.
Yes.
Reading that. It's so good.
I remember him being on the show talking about that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Oh, it's a good one. So it's Ken
mentioned
that he wrote.
Not to mention he's got the dreamiest voice ever.
Oh, here we go.
I know.
Right. Know. Speaking of dreamy voices,
really?
That's almost as good a segue as you talking of books. Bearing in mind the whole nature of the show, you know. So yeah, really.
Sean, yeah. That was good. I was brilliant at this time.
No shit, Sherlock. You really must write that one down. So thank you, Becky. Thank you for. Thank you for joining us twice this evening. It's been and gone. So it's time for me to clear off now.
All right.
Thank you, Porky.
See you next week.
Okay, Becky. We'll speak to you again. Bye bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I think she's building a part up. You know, she's Bless her. Bless her. Always jolly. Always good. Right, okay. We now have, in what has to be the laziest introduction ever written by Xtina, we have Destiny Hawkins, best-selling author of many genres. Yeah, that's great.
That's what it says on our Amazon page.
So hopefully we have Destiny Hawkins, author of many genres. How are you, my dear?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hi.
First and foremost, because obviously Xena couldn't be bothered. What are the many genres that you write within?
Okay, so I have to name them because I don't count them. I have a dystopian, lesbian, romance, fantasy, I'm writing my first erotica. Did I say paranormal?
No, you didn't.
No.
Okay, that's one of them. I think that's
awesome.
It. I think that's
awesome.
Usually I have to write them out.
which is your favorite?
My favorite is romance and paranormal.
Yeah, prefer to write. Yeah, what romance and paranormal together or separate?
Yeah, together.
Together.
Together. So, awesome.
Yeah. Do you like you know, werewolves or vampires, or do you have a specialty or a favorite?
Werewolves specifically, but I'm including some vampires into the next one that I'm writing.
You know, my mom, she used to be into, bears and stuff. They have, bears that, shapeshifter type deals. And then, do you know that they even have,
bears. You said bears.
Yeah, like, the
oh,
people,
yeah.
Like, I don't know,
I've
like.
Read, I saw someone, I
like
saw a
review werewolf.
And there was someone that used bears. It was my first time seeing it. I was like, oh, that's different.
Yeah. And there was another one. She liked cyborgs. The series was called More Than Machines. I was like, oh my god!
No,
my
I've never even heard of that.
Oh my god! Probably. I wish I hadn't.
Like, I'd want to read it.
So the bears. I mean, is it like werebears?
Exactly.
Bears.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, they have all sorts of things.
Okay.
They have panthers and stuff and. I mean, you name it. I think they've done it now.
Have you ever heard of tigers being shifters?
I have. I can't remember what writer that was. My mom had tiger ones too. Yeah.
Because I wanted to do one with tigers.
Really?
But they're gonna be like some ancient war tigers, and the last ones left. I'll have to do something like that.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I would read that. I think. I would feel weird, but I would read it. Just because I used to pick on my mom so much, I would call her a freak and, judge her, because I'm really good at judging people. You can ask James.
You are incredibly good at judging people. Yes, we found that on this show.
Whatever.
I mean, I have to say, I mean, it's funny. I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with some of the erotica genres. And, shapeshifting is incredibly popular. And like you say, it covers so many. Obviously, werewolves is an obvious one. And bears is a new one on me. I mean, bears are probably one of the least erotic creatures on the planet,
right.
I think.
Yeah.
Tigers
are
something very sensual about the big cats, but bears, I mean, they're just big fucking hairy lumps, to be honest. I suppose, pardon the pun, horses for courses, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me what sort of excites people. It's rich, life's rich tapestry, I think you would put it down to.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of my favorite writers, they just came out with a new book in the romance type era. But it's what they call it, MM, like male or whatever, And I've never read this before, and. It's fascinating. It's interesting. I didn't know if I would like it at first because I'm like, well, I really like the whole male female. That's what I like. But because it's my favorite writer, so I'm like, I'm gonna read it anyway. I do. I like it just as much. I mean, they still write the same. So why wouldn't I like it? But I learned. Not only that, but reading it, I'm like. This is kind of hot.
I thought I was the only weirdo.
No, it's weird. And I was telling my boyfriend, I'm like reading this book and there are these guys and it's really hot. And he's like, I don't want to hear about it. I'm good.
Good writing is good writing. I think we said that earlier on the show.
Definitely.
If it's written well, then. It really doesn't matter what it is. I suppose it depends why you're reading it. If you've specifically reading something to get off on, then obviously everybody has their thing. Even bears,
yeah, but
apparently.
I read the erotica for that reason. You know, I don't know. I mean, we had an author on the show one time, and her tagline for just herself was something like, she writes things that people read one-handed or something like that, which I thought was really clever. But I don't read for that purpose. I really don't. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I want the story. I don't read for the, to get off, I guess.
I think in this day and age of instantly accessible pornography, you don't need to read shit.
I can just Google.
Get the Kindle out and do all that. Just quick, get onto YouPorn on your phone. 2 minutes, it's done.
Exactly.
Apparently,
exactly.
A friend told me once.
You heard it from a friend.
I overheard it once.
Uh-huh. That's a good tape there, by the way. So Destiny, you wanted to talk about your book, The Descendants.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us what it's about? I know you love this question.
can you encapsulate the entire book in like 3 minutes, please? Off you go. Go on.
I'm going to do my best.
No pressure. Yeah.
Okay. So The Descendants is basically it's a dystopian novel. It's a story about a 19-year-old girl, and she's living in a nation called the Lighter Nation. And basically everyone there is born with these powers that they call their lighter energy. And there are three classes, with the Vex class being the highest class, and the Somas being the second class, and the Kalis are the third class. And Rhea, she doesn't fit in any class because she can't get her light to come out. So basically it's like they call it the glow, and they can kind of get it to glow in their hand, but she can't get it to do that. So she's branded as a null, which means nothing if you type it into Google. She pretty much, she lives a bit of a hard life in the academy that she was sent to. And that's just because she's the only null in the entire school. And for lighters, having powers, even if they're the lowest class, it's like the most important thing to have, because the Lighter Nation only accepts the strong. So from about age 10 to 24, all of the students are pressured to do better and to get stronger. And you have Rhea, who's trying to get her light to reveal the class she's in. And the school she's in, which is called Monroe Academy, it actually has a system put in place to motivate the students to get stronger. And it's called pain testing, which means torture.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, every single month these students have to actually endure torture based off of their performances in school. So the better they do, the less pain they endure, and the worse you do, the more pain you endure. And since Rhea has no powers, the guy that does her pain testing, his name's Artemis. He's actually the major, and she has healing power, so he can just keep torturing for about 3 days with her, because she has to take the longest session because they think it'll motivate her to bring her powers out. In turn, it actually makes it hide. But the series basically, she's the strongest person in the entire book, and her powers don't really come out the first and second one. Some of the second, but you don't really know what she is yet, because she's still not like them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, The Descendants is just her learning. So it sounds like it's really depressing, the first and second book, but there's some bright parts in that.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. I just, these worlds that are so elaborate that you make up, that is so cool to me.
I was bored at work one day.
Nice. That's another awesome thing, is to learn, how did you come about, an idea like this? And that's really cool.
I have no idea how the idea actually came up, but I was at work, and I guess the story just popped in my head, and all we had were these stupid, we couldn't use pen and paper at the job, so we had these whiteboards, and I kept writing things down on it over and over and over again, so I can remember when I got home.
That's awesome. I read something just recently that said that that's one of the a question that writers hate the most is, where do you get your ideas from? Because I guess, and it's the same for me, you know, where do I get some of the, you know, the things that I write, where do they come from? And nowhere and everywhere. It's weird because I don't even know how to explain. Sometimes I will wake from a dead sleep with a something that I have to, like, get up and I actually write it in my phone now, and sometimes in the morning I wake up and I look at to see what I've written, and I'm surprised I can even make sense of it. But, you know, sometimes it's really cool. I'm like, that's really good. So it is weird how there's sometimes I wonder.
Yeah, I have to say one of the best answers to that question is a great comedic pair. In Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer over in England. Look them up, they're so funny. Back in the sort of late 80s, 90s, they were big. And they're on some chat show and whatever, and somebody asked, you know, where do you get your ideas from? And literally straight face, they just said, well, from our heads. And that was it. And that, they said nothing else, that's it, it was from our heads. Perfect.
Well, sometimes
answer.
I wonder if it even comes from us at all, though. You know, I mean, have you ever looked back in something you wrote and thought, I don't, it's weird. It's like, I don't talk like that. I wouldn't say something like
well,
that. So where, you know, sometimes.
It comes from our brains, obviously, you know, just the fact that, you know, consciously, you know, it's in there. You know, the brain has many, many layers and many depths. You know, there's things, you know, I don't know if you've ever. You know, sort of, whether it's a creative thing, a writer thing, or whatever, you know, I can be sort of working on one thing, and maybe that means I've hit a stumbling point, and I need to. So I'll sort of mentally put that down a notch or two, into put that into the middle of the brain a bit, and I'll work on something else, you know, in the front of the brain thing. And it's like knowing that my brain's still working, you know, that makes sense. You know, like at a computer, you know, you minimize a screen, but you know, your spreadsheet is still calculating shit, or it's still uploading something that's happening in the background, you know, and it a lot of the time it's like that. So it is all from our brains, and it's all, I mean, like you say, there's things we take in that we are not aware that we take in, and it's all
squished
around in there, all firing off and connecting, and wonderful, wonderful thing. But I love my brain, it's awesome.
Do you have a reading for us, Destiny? I want to hear more about the Descendants.
Yes, I do have one.
Yay!
I feel kind of bad because you guys are saying that his name was Rob, right? Or Ray?
Ray, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ray, because his was so short. I'm like, wait, I think mine is even shorter, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys want me to get started?
Yes, yep, it's all yours.
Okay. So, the disciplinary officers here were students just like the rest of us, but at high levels like 8 or 9, exceptional students are, give me a second, I'm still a little nervous. Exceptional students around those levels were offered job duties to start making income before they graduate, but at the end of the day, they were just like us, and they were just like everyone else who hated me. I heard that Artemis has something new set up for you, the officer on my right chuckled. Yeah, it's too bad that I won't be able to hear your screams with the room being soundproof and all, the other officer said. I tried to ignore them and continue to look forward, but the words kept making their way into my ears. I just wanted to go back to the place that I dreamed about and focus my attention there. I wonder when the council is going to collar you. We all know why Artemis really wants you as a slave. They both laughed. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. My heart thudded against my chest as the two of them continued to taunt me. Every time I thought of Soren, Artemis's face would appear in my mind. His smile would creep up his lips while his eyes glimmered with excitement. When we came up to the steps that led to the PT room, I froze, and my feet slid across the tile floor. Right down this dim stairway was a metal door, and on the other side of that door was a large dim room with multiple torture devices and other separate rooms meant for different methods of torture. Artemis had only exposed me to a few methods, them being his favorite, but this time things would be different. This time he was going to be creative. The officer on my right chuckled and yanked me forward. If it weren't for them holding me up, then I would have tumbled down the steps. You've kept a tough face all this time. Don't act like you're afraid now. I took a deep breath as they let me down the stairs into the door. Once one slid the key through the slot, it slid open and I was let inside. The PT room was dimly lit with only a few lights turned on, making it look like an intimidating place to enter. The separate torture rooms were on my right. On the far wall was where they kept multiple metal cases meant to store different devices. And on my left were individual chairs used to strap the students down so that the pain testers could have their fun. In the center of the room were the electric chairs. I was very familiar with those chairs, but this session I wouldn't be sitting in them, and I never thought that I'd ever prefer to. I clenched my teeth as I heard the echoes of a boy screaming from the second room. Those rooms weren't soundproof and were actually made for others to hear so that their fear was even greater than before they came. The strongest people break down in tears as they enter the PT room, which is something that I want to do right now but refuse to. "Where did they say to take her today?" one officer asked the other. "The dump room," the other answered. The two began to lead me towards the rooms on my right. "Have you ever been to the dunk room?" the officer asked. "No, my pain tester is Julia. She only uses the electrocution method, low voltage." As the two talked, I tuned them out. My eyes moved from door to door as I anticipated one of them being mine. I had no idea what dunking was since it was against policy to speak about pain testing to any of the other students. "Just calm down. It's only 3 days, Rhea." We walked a little more until finally coming to my door, and when it opened, my knees gave out. I wasn't going to survive this. And that's the end of that part.
I love it. And I will say, you have such... I know. It always goes by too fast. And I will say, you have such a cute little voice. You do. It's so cute.
I try to make it go with the characters. Yeah. And I'm like, every time I hear my recording, I'm like, no, it doesn't sound like that.
So is this going to be a series?
Yeah, it actually, this is the longest series I'm ever going to have, but the books are actually pretty short. They're like 40,000 words, which I think is only 160 pages in the Kindle. So it's going to be about 13 books.
Wow. So do you have them all, do you outline like really, really, you know, extensively or?
Yeah,
I do
but
know
not
those are like, say that again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do, but not long before. So if I'm writing the first book, then I'll have an extensive plot, but the second book will just have the basics of what it needs until I get to it.
Ah, that's so fascinating, the whole creating a whole world. Like when I write, I basically just, you know, I don't know if I actually create, you know, stuff. It's just so cool to me. That's so, like, that all came out of you, the whole idea. That's really awesome. So, is it time for, it's time for 11 questions, I think. Do you have the cute little
It could be.
Thing?
It could be.
Yeah.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, and I do want to point out again that it's, we call it 11 questions, but in fact it's only 10 because James decided to play a little trick on me, I think, and he never gave me question 10. He says he did, but he never did, so there's no question 10.
I think she lost it. You've lost it.
How can I lose a question? No, that didn't happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Okay, what's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Can snacking be one? Because I love Skittles. I can eat Skittles all day.
I thought you said smacking. I'm thinking she just
like. I was,
smacking.
Yeah. I perked up.
That's kind of cool, yeah.
No smacking.
Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
Right? Is that your favorite snack?
No, I'm asking you, which would you prefer, ranch style or pork and beans as far as baked meat?
Pork and beans.
Okay, yeah. It's a weird question. Yeah. Okay, puppies or kittens?
Puppies,
yes. What's your favorite dessert? Question four, what's your favorite lunch meat?
Ham.
Ham. Good answer. And one of our listeners said that she thought you said smacking as well. So I do think that's a new guilty pleasure, smacking. I vote for smacking.
I like that.
I should have said that was it. It just kept going.
Yeah. What was your first car?
A 1991 Honda Accord.
Hmm. I'm just excited when people know what it, you know, remember what their first car was. It took me forever to remember more than just the color.
I was always 22, and I started driving at 20. So.
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Spiders.
Yes, good answer. That was the right answer, by the way. Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Is this which one I prefer and which one I'm more afraid of?
You know, whatever you want to answer. We had somebody, mostly I think people just, you know, tell us what movie they liked best or something, like which one of those. But the one lady we had on, she decided to do Fuck, Marry, or Kill with Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead, which I thought was genius. That was the best answer I'd ever heard. So then we had to discuss who, you know, would we kill Freddy or you know, fuck him or marry him, and you know, Jason and Pinhead. That was really interesting. That segment was. So, well, whatever you want. I mean, whatever answer you want to give us.
All right, Freddy.
Freddy. Okay. Yeah, I see. Jason. It's Jason for me. So, but again, what are we answering?
Okay.
First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Word processor.
Of course, yes, unless we have a whiteboard, and then we use whiteboards.
A whiteboard, yeah, that needs to be an option, isn't it?
Yes. Favorite alcoholic drink?
Mike's Heart Lemonade.
Ah, that's good, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, that is nice, that, yes.
Yeah, I'm a bit
good
of a
answer.
Light drinker.
One interesting non-writing related fact about you.
One non-writing fact about me?
Yeah, interesting non-writing related, yeah.
Let me think. I was athletic.
Was?
I like writing.
Oh, here we go.
So that's put all my energy into one.
Here's the bonus question, not to be confused with question 11, because it's just a bonus question. Baseball or stamp collection?
What was the second one?
Stamp collection.
Baseball.
Woo, baseball! Ooh. Yes.
Ooh,
that's
hang
the
on
right
a minute,
answer.
Hang on a minute. There you go. That was a wrong answer.
No, I'm a baseball nut, and James gets really... bored when I started talking baseball, so he decided that stamp
bored
collecting
now,
was just as exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I disagree, so I think baseball is much more exciting than stamp collecting. And most of our listeners, most of our guests think the same way, so
I really don't care. So Destiny, so you were athletic, what was your sport?
Well, when I was in high school, I played multiple sports, so I did, like, soccer, swimming, track, cross country.
Wow.
Did I say basketball? I think that's basketball. I wasn't very good at it, though.
Yeah.
I was a bench warmer.
And now you just write, so.
Yes, I write and work, because I put all my energy into one. So, like, when I went to college, all I did was work out a lot. And then I started writing so much that I actually was like, you know what? I can't do school and writing. So I actually dropped out of college to continue. So I'll go back eventually.
Yeah, definitely. So let's see. We are close to the end of our show tonight. And can you tell us where we can find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. It's just under Destiny Hawkins. If you want to go to my, like, stakes, my profile is still of the bunny ears and or cat ears. And you can also find me on authorbhawkins.com, which is my website.
And we do have all your links put up on our Facebook page. I stalked you everywhere. I found your Goodreads and your, you know, Instagram, I think, and all sorts of things. Maybe she doesn't even know she has these things, but they're, you know, the stalk links are up on our website, our page. So if anybody wants to stalk her, you can do it there. And we thank you so much for coming on the show. And you have to promise to come see us again.
Yes. Yes, I'm not as nervous as I was before. Thank you for having me, though.
Thank you for coming on. Oh, my gosh. James, you're doing that creepy demon thing. And I wasn't sure what was going on. Yeah, I know. He does this occasionally, but it's not usually this bad. This is really creepy. So, let's see. I think this is about this is about the time when he tells me to say goodnight, Xtina, I think. So, anyway, we want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show, and I will be stalking you to have you come back. And so, thank you. And
thank you.
So this is, I think, the time of the night when James tells me to say goodnight, Xtina. So, goodnight, Xtina. And then I think we have a... There we go.